Our text is the words of Paul. I could wish I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus. It was a long time ago, and that I remember very vividly. The man was dying, and his relatives called and asked if I would come and minister to him. The man had no congregation. He had seemed to have little faith or little attachment to what you and I know as Christianity. But the friends and relatives thought maybe it would be good for me to come. We had devotions and talked about scripture and life and death. And after a couple days, I told him about the importance of holy baptism, and I wanted to baptize him. But he didn't want to get baptized. He said, no. And I circled around again and talked to him about the love of God and Jesus and how God lays out these things for us as believers and etc. And he said, no, thank you, no. I think it's that kind of thing that Paul was thinking about when he wrote this text. You don't win them all. Sometimes things go great and you say, praise God. Other times you say, what did I do wrong? What did I say that I shouldn't have said? Did I approach it too fast? Am I just this bent twig? Is it I? Because sometimes it seems as though the Word of God fails, or at least as it comes through these glib tongues that you and I have, you see. Paul writes, oh, it's not as though the Word of God failed. No, put that aside. Don't think of that for a moment. The plan is bigger than you or I, but we have to go back to the beginning. You notice this great tragedy that happens. It happened in the world scene when he came to his own and his own received him not. Those who had everything going for them said, no, thank you, not today. Life went on. But they had everything. They had the adoption as sons. And God said to Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, Israel's my firstborn son. And if you don't let my firstborn son worship me, leave and worship me, I'll take your firstborn son. They weren't just anybody. They had the divine glory, the cloud by day and the fire by night, and God feeding them every day. Why? They had these physical manifestations. They should have never said, is God among us? As you and I might muse, you know, say. Because they had the physical manifestations, but I guess that doesn't always even work. But they had the divine glory. It was there. And then they had the covenants and the promises. Why, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And to you, Isaac, I'll fulfill this. I'll confirm the oath that I made to your father. And I'll give you the land all the way from Egypt to the Euphrates. It'd be your land. They had the temple worship. The expiation, the propitiation for sins in the blood of the Lamb. They had the law. Who else was given the law? But he came to his own, and his own received him not. No, thank you, not today. No, not today. And when he went to Nazareth and said, these are the words of Isaiah, and these words have been fulfilled in your hearing on this day. Why, they took him out to the brow of the hill as if to get rid of him. We'll get rid of this man once and for all, and he won't bother us again, even though he's our hometown prophet. So seemingly to Paul, the mission had failed. And so now he's left with this deep sorrow and what he calls unceasing anguish in his heart. He doesn't just ruminate and say, it wasn't I that did the wrong thing here. But he feels this passion in his heart for his fellow Israelites. And it's part of being a pastor. Your heart gets into it. You care for these people. And you care for the ones who don't hear. And it causes this, when it really works. Well, Paul said, look, I just assume that I were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, if that's what it would take. I will give up my salvation for their salvation. I'll go to hell that they might go to heaven. I'll just be nothing that they might be everything in the sight of Jesus. If that's what it would take, he was willing to do it. When God puts that kind of passion in a person's heart, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God, not just saying, Lord, I'll give you my time and my talents or my money or my family or my brain or whatever you want, you see. But saying, look, if it's your will to accomplish this task that I go to hell in the process, I'll give up my salvation. Now what's left? Nothing. What more can a man give than his salvation? Nothing. And that's how our life is, this hidden life in Jesus. It's not wise, it's foolish. From all outward aspects, you work for this thing and then suddenly you're willing to give it up for the will of God. What is this? What is in your belly, you see? Now, our life is hidden with Christ and God, so our salvation is hidden under seeming damnation, and heaven is hidden under our seeming willingness to go to hell, and our righteousness is hidden under our sins that we see. And our power is made perfect in weakness because we're just these weak sinners trying to do something for God. No, at this point, we have to go back to square one. It's God's plan of salvation, and we're just a very small part. We're just a very minute part of the process. God calling us to be his spokesman, to be his ambassadors for Jesus. Trusting solely on his grace. For our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, and that cause people to say, no thanks, not today. We can pursue religiosity and act as though we're going to get something out of it, but it's Jesus, and Paul points this out. You can have the adoption of sin. You can have everything going for you in the whole world as far as religiosity goes. But you have to not stumble over the stumbling block. Paul said they pursued it for works rather than for Jesus. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. See, I lay in Zion a stone that caused men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And finally, you have to fall down and say, I'm just nothing. But you are my everything. I'm just a foolish man, but you are wise. I'm just a human, but you are my divine Savior. For the children of promise are not the natural descendants, Isaac and all who follow. The children of promise are those who God decides. For he says, look, I'll have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's gracious mercy. And God continues then to offer this gift of Jesus, that the foolish might be wise, that the poor might be made rich, that the lowly might be lifted up in Jesus. So when you get out there, and the mission seems to have failed, and there is sorrow and unceasing anguish in your heart saying, what did I do? Trust solely in God's grace. It's not over yet. The plan carries on. The plan of bringing people to Jesus. It's God's working and God's time and God's grace and God's compassion. Amen.